It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Kick off today's festivities as our watch party continues. Brought to you by Huntington Bank. It'll be at Ducky McSweeney's today, so that's why Sean's not here with me. And he will be not with me as well tomorrow, because watch parties throughout the week. We continue that today and also on Friday. So we got plenty to get to. We got the NBA draft. The Rockets were involved in that, made several moves, traded up for a player. AJ won it. Them the trade up. We'll see if he's happy with the selection. Some Rocket fans aren't thrilled. You guys certainly can chime in on that. 713-780-3776. We had a big trade in the NBA, which brought up the conversation about, will the Rockets do something big to change the complexion of their roster? We had World Cup. Brazil's coming to town for a knockout round game. Glenn Davis, very happy about that. He answered the phone this morning, and the first thing he said to me was, "Del, Brazil's coming to town." I was like, I heard about that, Glenn. So we got one of the premier soccer playing nations coming to town. So that's fun. We've had Germany, we've had the Dutch, we've had Portugal, and now we get Brazil, thanks to their performance in the group stage. So that's cool. So we'll do some World Cup with the U.S. playing tonight. It's a night game, first night game for them. It is 8 o'clock against Turkey. The question will be, who plays? We know from Pochettino's words to not expect the guys on yellow cards. We will see if Pulisic gets out there to get a couple minutes in after not playing since the end of the first half against Paraguay. It would be about 3 weeks or so if he doesn't step on the field between that match and the knockout round game, which looks to be against Bosnia. So he might get some minutes tonight. We will see about that. But the team in town who's playing well, we should get to. The Astros win another series. That's now 4 in a row. Thanks to Mike Burrows. We haven't been able to say thanks to Mike Burrows very much this year. He pitched well. It was much needed for him and for the Astros, because the bats weren't very loud last night. They got going late to beat the Blue Jays two nights ago. Last night, they had the scrap and claw. They got a nice win. Hader came in, did his thing as he continues to be shut down, and they get that win 3-1. So that's four series in a row. This show has made plenty of jokes and likely will continue to make jokes just so we don't cry when it comes to the Astros baseball at times. But there's no reason to complain about what they're doing. They're finding ways with pitching that you can't trust from day to day, but they've been good enough, the pitching, to complement an offense that is coming through. So their much maligned outfield has had a pretty good series, whether it be the defensive plays by Cam Smith. Lo Perfetto has had some big hits. So while that outfield isn't great, they've had their moments in this series. And the bullpen has done what it's needed to do. So you take 2 out of 3 from a Blue Jays team who, while they reside in a not-so-great American League, they're one of the teams who is in the wild card hunt, and you're competing against them. So take 2 out of 3 from them is pretty nice. And now, just the game behind the Blue Jays when it comes to that race, the Astros have officially surpassed the midway point. They played their 82nd game last night. The 39-43, four games below 500. So they finally broke through that 5-8 range that they've been in, gone. Now it's at 4 with another series win. So that was nice. It was tough. Maybe for some of you, nerve-wracking. I'm kind of relaxed. There's so many games. But they win, and that was nice to see. Jeremy Pena was batting third. We'll see if that becomes a thing with Yordan batting second. Christian Walker did not play, so that might have affected that a little bit with Paredes filling in at first. So from Burroughs to a Kurt to King to Hader, that was nice with Burroughs going six and looked better than he has been. The strikeout numbers weren't high, but at least he didn't walk anyone. And he somehow avoided giving up. Nope. He almost avoided giving up a home run. It was challenged. The umpire said, yep, that's a home run. So Mike Burroughs still gives up home runs. He almost didn't, but he did. But that was the only blemish on what was a good start for him. He's one of the league leaders in home runs given up. That was his 19th home run given up of the season. But thankfully, and it's something Joe Espada talked about in a previous conversation about Burroughs after a start, at least it was a solo shot. Burroughs has had the propensity to give up homers with people on base. And in a game like last night, that could have been a killer. He did not do that. Didn't have runners on the base paths. Gave up the one home run early in the game and settled down and got it done. So that was nice for him, because for the last couple of months, the best thing about Burroughs was the fact that he could actually pitch when it was his turn in the rotation. So nice to get him going, and we'll see if that can be a momentum builder for one of the guys the Astros were depending on coming into the year. He just simply has not lived up to the expectations, because before training camp, or excuse me, spring training, this was a guy who you might have suspected could have been your second starter when you look at Eric Etty not being available. At least he was sent down. And we know about Imai coming over and Christian Javier coming back from injury. There was a thought that Burroughs could slide into to be your number two. He has been not that guy, but good to see him out there and getting it done just for his own confidence. And let's hope that continues. So we got a couple calls. We'll get to you guys when we come back. I know, Keith, you wanted to get in on the Jaylen Brown discussion on the previous show. So you're back. We'll get to you. And Jay, you want to talk some Astros as well. So the Astros continue to win. The Mariners and the rest of the division keep coming back to them. And now they happen to be in second place, 2.5 games back behind the division-leading Mariners. There are three teams tied for second, but the Astros have a percentage point lead. So if you want to screenshot the standings, you can tell all of your followers and all of the people you battle with, whether they be Mariners, A's, and Ranger fans, that your Astros are back in second within striking distance of the Mariners. Okay, Jay, Keith, we'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else, the number is 713-780-3776. We're just getting started. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
The Rockets made a trade in the draft, not one to the magnitude of LaMelo Ball going to Minnesota. We'll get to that. We'll also get AJ's thoughts on that selection of Bruce Thornton, because AJ yesterday talked about he wanted the Astros to be Astros. He wanted the Rockets to show some urgency, and they did. The question is, was it the urgency he was looking for? So we'll get to that, but let's get to a couple of these calls. Keith got in first, so let's get to him. Keith, you want to talk about Jaylen Brown? What's up?
Hey, Dale. The Jaylen Brown situation, I think the Celtics do need to move him at some point. I still think the best fit is the Phoenix Suns. Jaylen Brown won a title with an elite shooting guard in Jason Tatum. The Suns have that. in Devin Booker, especially in his new number, new era situation. So I think the ideal trade for Boston, I think, is with the contracts matching up, is you send Jalen Green, Grayson Allen, you get rid of Royce O'Neal, and Amir Coffey. That's about $65 million per season for Jalen Brown, Baylor Scheinerman, whatever his name is, Jordan Walsh, and Luka Garza. So those four for four, you pair Brown with an elite shooting guard, and then you get some small forwards and some quality players that can go. You know, Green can play point guard, obviously, with Tatum. Grayson Allen's a proven veteran in the score. Royce O'Neal's been around a long time. He can play that small forward position. The Celtics still have a gaping hole at the five. But I think that trade works out well for both parties. Like, you know, the Suns, you know, they've invested in developing some young players. They've got Booker. They've been basically irrelevant since blowing that 2-0 finals lead in 21 to Giannis. So I think this could possibly be a good fit. Ship Jaylen Brown out of the conference, you know, into the desert. And then, you know, get Jalen Green, you know, on the East Coast and, you know, playing with some with a good coach and, you know, Jason Tatum.
First thing, Keith, you're lucky this isn't a Boston area radio show because of, first of all, they're just abrasive overall. But if the people of WEEI heard you say that you wanted to trade, let's talk about just the principles of the deal. Jalen Brown for Jalen Green. These people were questioning whether they want to trade Jalen Brown for Giannis. And apparently Hugo Gonzalez was off the table. And you think they're going to be fine trading Jalen Brown for Jalen Green? You didn't even mention draft picks. You know what? You did the Vanderbilt thing, so you think you can say anything, I guess, and maybe you'll be right because I thought the Vanderbilt thing was ridiculous too. But there's no way. You didn't mention – you're actually asking the Celtics to throw more stuff in when you didn't even provide enough value for the principal player in the trade in Jalen Brown. I would be very surprised if the best player coming back to the Suns was Jalen Green in a Jalen Brown trade. And you're asking them to give away a Baylor Shireman. Now, I don't think much of Baylor Shireman, really, but come on. You know Boston. You see, you know what Baylor Shireman looks like. You know what Boston thinks of him. Whether that's too much esteem for a Baylor Shireman, they have pretty high hopes for him for whatever reason. You can figure it out, I guess. But, no, that's a trade that we toss in the trash, unless you're Phoenix, and if Phoenix can pull that off, credit to them, but that ain't something Brad Stevens is going to do. Now, with the LaMelo Ball trade going down, some of the reporting coming out of that was that the Wolves called about Jalen Brown. But with the cost of Jalen Brown, they weren't looking to match that, so they went with LaMelo. They gave up the one first-rounder. There's a pick swap, and then there's multiple second rounders, and then Naz Reid is in the deal. So that's what the Hornets get back. The Hornets, you would assume, looked at their roster and went, we need a more serious individual playing point guard for us. This point guard's unserious. Get him out of here. It's a Con, Knipple, and Brandon Miller team. And we'll build around that. Maybe they bring back Kobe White. They got a giant trade exception. It's like $41 million. So they can take in salary. Maybe there's a star they can acquire because they have assets as far as draft capital to make a move happen. So they got rid of a guy who's never seen a red light he wants to stop at. And maybe they'll get an adult in that spot to help out the rest of their young core and maybe make the playoffs. For as much as people thought of the Hornets' run at the end of the year, where they looked like one of the better basketball teams in the league, it petered out with the play-in loss. They didn't even make the playoffs. So we'll see what they'll do. Kobe White may be back, and they have the chance to add a star if one shakes loose. Maybe they get Jalen Brown. You ever think of that, Keith? Maybe Jalen Brown is headed to Charlotte. They certainly have the means to do it if they so choose. Let's get to, in fact, before we move to JJ, we'll get to you here. Let's hear from Zach Lowe, because we had Chase call in yesterday about potential Rockets interest in Jaylen Brown, and if that deal could happen, the Rockets certainly have the ability to make that trade happen. Here is Zach Lowe and what he's heard about a potential Brown to Houston transaction.
Houston is just keeps surprising me that they don't come up in any of this talk.
Oh, that's a good one.
I frankly have not heard that they're super into Jaylen Brown. That could change, but that's what I've heard for now.
Short and sweet at the moment. That's Zach Lowe podcast or Zach Lowe show on the Ringer. Nothing from the Rockets he's heard about Jaylen Brown's. We heard earlier in the offseason that there may be some interest there, but at the moment, with the trade talks actually going for Jaylen Brown, the Rockets apparently are not involved. So that's where that stands. Let's get to Jay here. He wants to talk some Astros. What's up, Jay?
Hi. Hey, good morning, Dale. If it doesn't involve the Rockets, I don't want to be hearing no hypotheticals between Boston and Phoenix trades at all on this radio. But anyways, with the Astros on the rise lately, I like how all these pundits are basically saying, like, hey, the Astros are going to be buyers, which, you know, in the perfect world, yes, I want them to be buyers. I just don't know what they can offer. I believe, you know, prospects. I mean, I guess they can get rid of Burrows and Delgado. I don't even call them prospects. Like, you look at AAA, you got maybe Biggio, Cole, DeZenzo. I think the Astros' best prospect to go get somebody to trade off would be the ones playing in the Fayetteville right now. You know, again, the Astros, yes, go buy someone, because they can close this gap. They can win this division. This division is probably the weakest it has been in the past 10 years. There's nothing for the Astros to offer. I think just run it with this group, and we'll see how it goes. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Jay. It's not just the pundits. Dana Brown himself has said they'll be buyers. At least that's the intention, and his goal is to add bullpen help and a left-handed bat in the outfield. So I would agree. I mean, I'm not Chandler Rome, so I don't know the exact prospects they would be looking to offer. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a major league outfielder. Does Jake Myers have any value someplace and you can go secure yourself a left-handed bat? Someone needs a defensive outfielder and you go get a guy to replace Jake Myers, but the left-handed bat that Jaylen Brown so craves. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they can do to find someone that can actually offer consequential help. They tried to do it last year. They traded for Sanchez last year, and that went poorly. He wasn't great in the outfield as a defensive outfielder, and he wasn't great at the plate. So Jesus Sanchez, currently a Blue Jay. We saw him yesterday, or at least a couple days ago. He didn't play yesterday. He's actually having a pretty good year for the Blue Jays. Unfortunately, that didn't translate to the Astros. If the Jesus Sanchez that's playing for the Blue Jays played for the Astros, maybe he's still here. But instead, he's up in Toronto and hitting the ball pretty well. Just didn't work out with him and the Astros. Is that Stanford? Is that what that says? Stanford, we're going to go to break. Hold on. You want to talk about Jaylen Brown? We'll get to you when we come back. It'll be a quick break. Anyone else want to join the show? 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls on anything, apparently, except for hypotheticals involving the Suns and the Celtics. That didn't go over well with Jay. And Jay, I understand, because it wasn't even that compelling of an offer. Like, what are we doing? Jaylen Green was able to get KD here. That's because KD really wanted out of Phoenix. Jaylen Brown's going to have several suitors. I don't know if he's going to put his thumb on the scale for the Phoenix Suns. All right, we'll go to break with that.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Dale Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, we'll get to Stanford's call and then we will get to what the Rockets did last night. Made a trade, moved up in the draft, picked a point guard out of Ohio State. Let's get to Stanford first, though. He wants to talk Jaylen Brown. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Dale. Man, I'm gonna keep it real. I want Durant gone. I got a trade that works out for everybody, really. Raphael Stone. I hope he's listening. I hope Kevin Durant is listening. We do a three-team trade with the Rockets, Wizards, and the Celtics. The Rockets will get Jaylen Brown, Kevin Durant, and that other Dorian Finney-Smith go to the Wizards, and the Celtics get Anthony Davis. They feel their need for a center with an elite center. We get Jaylen Brown, somebody that's not going to quit on the team in the playoffs, somebody that's not going to somebody's not going to make a fake Twitter account to talk about the team and kill the morale in the locker room. And the Wizards get Kevin Durant. He gets to go home to his hometown and take some pressure off the new rookie. What you think, man?
So I will tell you, they interviewed the Wizards GM yesterday. I think on one of the draft shows or about the draft, of course, because they had the number one overall pick, as you mentioned him. And he is telling the world that Anthony Davis wants to be there. And when his extension is able to be signed, they are going to offer it to him. That's what he said. We will see if that's just a leverage ploy to let people know we're just not going to give him away. We want him here. He wants to be here. So if you want him, You got to give us something of value. Kevin Durant would be something of value. People have been trying to put him in Washington, D.C. really since he became a free agent with OKC. The thought was he could go there, and then we know he picked an actual stable basketball scenario and went to Golden State. So the Rockets have said everyone but Ahmed is someone they'll take a call on. They won't go shopping, but they will listen to your call. Would Jaylen Brown suffice? You would think, but you just heard from Zach Lowe that the Rockets have not been a team looking to get involved. And considering what happened with LaMelo Ball, where Shams said there's a deal in the works and these teams are interested, and then less than 24 hours later, a deal was done. He is talking about that same type of urgency when it comes to Jaylen Brown, that a deal is maybe not imminent, but certainly on the horizon. If the Rockets are going to get involved, now would be the time. Who knows? Maybe Zach Lowe's information is a week old and the Rockets are trying to secure Jaylen Brown. But we talked about that yesterday because we got a call from Chase about it. And I think we both were in the camp that considering how much it would cost to get him and to pay him when he's extension eligible on, I think, July 26th, it's a no-go for me. I don't think you're going to win anything with Jaylen Brown as your, forget about best player, your highest paid player. I don't think that's going to be the way it works, because the conversation this morning on the morning show was, well, can you build a roster around him? And he's a you pay him max money because he's a max player. And no one thought that Jaylen Brunson could do the thing where he's the best guy on a title team. Well, Jaylen Brunson's making significantly less over the next couple seasons than Jaylen Brown. And then, as I said, Jaylen Brown would be looking for you to commit with an extension that would even take a salary close to 70 per year at some point. It wouldn't get there, but it'd be upwards of in the 60s. And then you're locked in for like 5 years. So that's a name that's out there. I am very interested to see who decides to commit with resources and money. I guess I should say draft capital, assets as far as players, and then money. Make the trade with the assets and then give Jaylen Brown all the money he wants. We'll see how that goes down, but looks like that'll happen in the next couple of days too if the Celtics have their way. All right, Rockets make a trade. They get Bruce Thornton, the guard out of Ohio State. I have seen him called Timu Kyle Lowry, Isaiah Cannon, someone said, great, now our G League got more depth. It's been met with middling reviews because when you see the Rockets are trading up and you know that a couple first rounders, at least first round projected players fell into the second, you think they're going to go get a wing like Evans out of Duke. 6'6", can knock down threes. Now, Thornton, he did make shots at Ohio State. My first thought was, oh, look at Ime. He got himself Gen Z FVV. That's what I thought initially. And you start to look at his numbers. He was a better shooter in college than Fred was. But the four-year player who played all the time, that was Fred's thing at Wichita. Leader, all the things. Fred had a really good career at Wichita State. Bruce Thornton fits the profile of a Fred VanVleet type. The long college career, the stocky body, not hyper-athletic, but the dog word is thrown around, competitor, leader, all those things. But he was a more proficient shooter. So, AJ, before you tell me what you thought of the trade, or at least the player selected after the trade, what did you hope for as far as a player was when you realized the Rockets traded up to the top of the second round?
For me, like going into the draft in general, initially I wanted them to trade into the first round, but since they didn't do that, I liked that they traded to the top of the second round. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't done the most work on Bruce Thornton in terms of like knowing him as a prospect, but I have some people who like work in the draft circle, and they told me that he's like a really efficient player. He's the all-time leading scorer for Ohio State in their college history, and then also he has a low turnover percentage, so that's definitely what the Rockets need because they struggled with turnovers last year too, so it'll be nice. I mean, like, you want him to be a contributor for sure next season. I mean, he's 23 years old. You don't want him to be a guy that's going up and down the G League because, dang, like, you need as much help as you can get, especially at the guard position, backup wise, since Fred was hurt too. So I'm intrigued. It's kind of annoying that all the people, like, I know you wanted maybe Isaiah Evans, you wanted Malik Thomas or players of that nature as well too. But if you don't know about the player, don't like make it seem like you know everything about him. Like, oh, this is a bad draft pick. Like, just let's wait and see how he contributes. You know?
Yeah, I don't have like you. I mean, I wasn't locked in on who they were going to take, so I just waited and watched, and then I started to look up some things. And beyond the jokes anyone wants to make, that's a solid college player who can knock down shots. And teams have an identity, and he fits that to a T. And then you think about what he can provide. You need someone. If he's going to become someone they depend on to be a backup point guard, because at the moment, I mean, Aaron Holiday exists, but when you start to talk about going forward, perhaps you just want to get a little younger, less expensive there, and Bruce Thornton fits that. If he's going to take care of the ball on a team with offense, with an offensive threat like KD, and then you have, of course, Alpi, like if they're still the same as they're presently constituted, if there's no big trade, you want a guy who could just get them into their offense and knock down open shots. He doesn't fit the profile of someone you would normally get excited about because he's not a hyper-athletic wing. I mean, but the Rockets aren't looking for that. Ime said after the regular season, we need to look for shooting. And how many shots will Thornton get? That's up for debate. But he has shown the ability to knock down looks and create on his own as well. So I don't have any strong feelings against the pick. But I understand sometimes when a guy is 6 feet tall and it's 220-something pounds, you don't immediately think, oh, that guy can help on the NBA level. It's just not the projection you see when you're talking about a player who can come in and give you something. But he was effective in a big-time basketball conference over the course of 4 years, and he always played. He was always available. So that's another added benefit. So the Rockets make their selection. They traded another second-rounder later in the draft. They traded out of the draft, so that was their one pick. They did sign a couple undrafted free agents. I think there's a player out of NC State or something. I can't remember exactly. But there was someone they were targeting before the draft. They expected him to go undrafted, and he did, so they got him as well. But Bruce Thornton is the big name, and they made that selection yesterday at the top of the draft. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We're still taking calls, 713-780-3776. But I do appreciate a player eliciting nicknames from the fan base. Is Timu Kyle Lowry my favorite one? Isaiah Cannon is not even a nickname. That's just a comp of a former 6 foot tall point guard that the Rockets have had at one point. So every time you throw Timu in front of someone's name, it's not a compliment. So I'm not going to call Bruce Thornton that. But as far as initial reactions, that one hit home for me.
About great value.
Great value, yeah. I mean, Walmart makes a great product. Yeah. Sure, I don't mind that one as well. I it's not a nickname. It's just I saw the vision and that. Okay, you just drafted Fred. You just drafted a different Gen Z version of Fred who can shoot the ball a little bit better. Okay, I get it. That's what you want. That's what you see when you think point guard. It makes some sense that Bruce Thornton would be the selection. All right, we'll go to break with that. We've got one more segment before we're done with the hour. And then, you know, we got another hour to go, so you can get in when you like. AJ, I started yesterday's show worried about a potential theft in front of my home. I have an answer, and I'll tell you what I did to make sure.
That's a good tease.
we avoided a disaster. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So yesterday I started the show talking about Prime Day, which is now like Prime Week. But I only mentioned it because I made a purchase. Got some AirPods from Apple. Got them on a discount. That's what you do. You find the deal you're looking for when it's a Prime Week, and you make a selection. So I did that. The problem was so efficient, Jeff Bezos, that I ordered those AirPods like 2 in the afternoon, and they're like, you know what? We're going to deliver them sometime between 7 and 11 the next day. They were like, you know what? We're actually going to do it better than we even claimed. 6:30 in the morning, which is not great for me when I'm already out the house by hopefully 5:45. So I'm coming to work and I get the notification on the email. Hey, your AirPods are there. And I've had neighbors dig through packages before to see what they could potentially take. So I'm a little nervous. I told the story that I was okay yesterday. The last time, because it was just a motor to a Samsung refrigerator. That's a very specific thing to order. You can't really use it unless you have the specific Samsung refrigerator. So I was good there. They rummaged through, didn't find what they're looking for, and went about their business. Anyone can use some Apple AirPods. So I was a little shaky. I went home, took the short way home, didn't go the scenic route, and I was going to get lunch. That's what I do. I usually just go get lunch on the way home. Instead of that, even though the place I was going was legitimately 5 minutes away from my house, I still went home first. I went home first to make sure the AirPods are waiting there. Nobody had touched the package, so good on the neighbors for not doing the thing. But I was that shook up because if you come home and someone's gone through your stuff, you're a little worried, but it was there. All good. Safe and sound. I don't even know Amazon's policies on that stuff. If you don't tell them about or give them a direction about where they should put something, maybe it's out of their hands as soon as it hits your front door or the steps in front of your front door. So safe and sound. In fact, the AirPods are with me right now, so we're all good here. But yeah, can't trust my neighbors anymore. One of them lets a dog poop on my yard, at least attempt to. AJ, do you know that story?
Yeah.
You know. It almost happened again. A couple weeks ago now, and I realized this is how those stories that John talks about, News of the Weird, come up, and you're like, how could you ever get yourself in that situation? Because when I saw the person again, this time, I didn't linger in my home. I was like, okay, we're going to have a talk. And then I slowed down a little bit because the dog didn't actually do it. It just went about its business, and she tried to let the dog do it again someplace else. But I did get my car. I was going to, hey, what do you, like, you know, try to be as calm as possible and go, hey, what are you doing? You don't have a bag. Why are you letting your dog walk around this neighborhood? And I was a victim, put that in quotes. I was a victim one time, and you almost had that dog poop in my yard again. And this is how bad things happen to people. You know what? If you just add up all the things that could happen in your life, the dog pooping in your yard's not that big of a deal. But it could escalate into something you're not looking for. So as I was about to drive around and go roll up and go, hey, what are you doing? I was like, you know what? This is stupid. This is really dumb. I did pull out of my driveway though, and then caught myself. Like, what's going to come of this? Even if I get the satisfaction of yelling at this person for letting this happen, I don't know who this person is. Who knows what they're going to do when they get home? Who knows who they're going to talk to when they get home? They certainly know where I live because I'm going to be the one yelling at them about what their dog almost did. It's like, you know what? Discretion's a better part of valor. You didn't even have to pick up poop. Let it be. That's my advice. Sometimes you got to let stuff go. You're asking for trouble sometimes. And it could have been just one conversation. That would have been it. But you never know the unintended consequences of something. I don't give advice much because I'm not in a position to do it. Take a breath is all I'll say. And speaking of something in that regard, we had some blatant disrespect happen a couple nights ago when Richard Jefferson said some things about Jason Williams he probably shouldn't have said. Well, Jason Williams was asked about it. We'll get to that when we come back. Jason Williams, the ESPN analyst, former Duke Blue Devil, former Chicago Bull, had his past brought up in a, let's say, less than respectful way on the first night of the NBA draft or during the first night of the NBA draft. He was asked about it. He has some thoughts. We'll get to that when we come back. You can join us. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll get to hour two when we get back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.